Printing Pulse, Shipments, It's the Time of the Season, by Richard Romano. April 2022 shipments came in at $6.67 billion, down from March's $7.03 billion. And it looks like 2022 is closely mirroring 2021, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Early 2022 numbers had reflected the tail end of the Omicron surge that dominated December, and now we've reached the virus? What virus? Stage of COVID. We expected that 2022 would return to the trend that started in 2019 before the interruption that was 2020. And even if overall shipments have not reached 2019 levels yet, we're at least reverting back to something resembling regular seasonality. The general trend in all but two of the last 7 years has been for April shipments to decline from March's. That's not really good news, but suggests we're getting back to normal. Year to date, we are only slightly off 2021. January to April shipments for 2022 are at $26.16 billion, a bit under 2021's $26.45 billion. We also have some ground to make up if we are hoping to overtake 2021, or even 2020, oddly enough. The words of the prophets. Despite COVID, printing industry profits have been pretty good. Heck, we don't need a pandemic to be unprofitable, with annualized profits for Q1 2022 coming in at $4.55 billion, down a tad from $4.79 billion in Q4 of 2021. We also look at printing profits by asset class. Large printers, more than $50 million in assets, and small printers, less than $50 million in assets. In Q1 2022 for large printers, those with more than $50 million in assets, profits before taxes had been up 1.62% of revenues. Not the greatest of quarters, but not the worst either. For smaller printers, less than $50 million in assets, profits before taxes in Q1 were up 9.48% of revenues. Again, not the best, but not the worst quarter. We had been referring to the disparity between big and small printers as our tale of two cities, since there had been a great profit disparity between those two asset classes. Although the Census Bureau's adjustment to $50 million as the breakpoint now disrupts the narrative a bit, so in Q1 2021, all printers big and small did better profit-wise, which means that, for the industry on average, profits before taxes were up 4.79% of revenues, up from Q4's 2.84%. For the last six quarters, profits have averaged up 5.27% of revenues. The asset class division is based on the breakdowns in the Census Bureau's quarterly services report, whence we get our profits data. Starting with the Q4 2019 quarterly services report, the Census Bureau changed their asset class breakdowns from more and less than $25 million to more or less than $50 million. People need people. One gets the sense that the industry's attempts at recruiting production staff are generally succeeding. In April 2022, all printing employment was up 1.6% from March, with non-production employment down 0.9%. This is the reverse of what we saw in March. Publishing employment had been improving slightly over last summer, took a turn for the worse in the fall, and started to plateau at the end of the year. It was up a modest 0.6% in March, and now up another 0.4%. Digging into the specific publishing segments, the reporting of which lags a month, things continue to stay in a bit of a holding pattern, although on a more upward one than last month. From February to March, periodical publishing employment was up 1.9%, while newspaper publishing employment was down 0.8%. The creative markets were doing about the same. Graphic design employment was up 1.1% from February to March. Ad agencies were also up 0.9%. And public relations, usually a standout segment, was only up 0.5%. Direct mail advertising employment has been up and down for the past year, but in March 2022 was down 0.3%. the general economic outlook. Despite the gloom and doom you hear on the nightly or cable news, the current economic climate is actually pretty good, although there are some trouble spots with more potentially on the horizon. Pundits have been trotting out the R word, but there really is no sign that we are in a recession or about to go into one. The employment situation is exceptional. In April, employers added 400,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate is at 3.6% for the third month in a row. There is a kind of real-time recession indicator based on the unemployment rate called the SOM rule, formulated by and named for former Federal Reserve and Council of Economic Advisors economist Claudia Sahm. The SOM rule identifies signals related to the start of a recession when the three-month moving average of the national unemployment rate rises by 0.5 percentage points or more relative to its low during the previous 12 months. It is currently down 0.1 percentage point, which is well below the 0.5 percentage point indication of being in a recession. Meanwhile, consumer spending has been up, and employers throughout the economy are hiring, or trying to. But the headline economic story, inflation, takes precedent over all the others, and it's understandable why, since it means everything costs more. The causes of the current inflationary surge are not typical. Then again, what has been typical about the last 3 years? Recovery from a global pandemic means increased demand as people get out and spend on things they couldn't in 2020 or even 2021. Then there are pandemic-induced, Ukrainian war-induced, and Chinese lockdown-induced supply chain problems. After all, prices rise when supply can't meet demand. Gas is high because people are now traveling more as they arise from the bunkers, and oil production has been cut during the pandemic. Unfortunately, these problems are largely beyond the reach of the usual tools the Federal Reserve has to keep inflation in check. The eternal challenge is raising interest rates enough to curb inflation without driving up unemployment and/or plunging us into a recession, as was the case in 1981 and 82. And let's not forget that inflation is high internationally, so it's not a uniquely American problem. As Claudia Sahm wrote in June, the Fed is committed to bringing inflation down, but to do so, they need us to swap one hardship for another. Less consumption for less inflation. But that's not the only way. More supply, whether it's more workers to hire or more stuff to buy, would reduce inflation too. That's the better way, but more uncertain and beyond the Fed. But it's late June as I write this. Those of you reading this in the future may be experiencing something completely different. If there's one thing we learned in 2020, as the song goes, in a New York minute, everything can change.